love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and it does appear we have a little beep problem. So, since you don't listen to this anyway, I'm going to hang up that phone, and you get the recording. Ha, huh, isn't that wonderful? We have a backup plan. Hi there. This is several things I want to inform you about. One is because I mentioned the t-shirts. Well, I adjusted the t-shirt there, so the t-shirt is in front. The hat is still there, it's just in behind, and of course the purse was moved up because I wanted to be, you know, it's my favorite writer calls me Dad. That was an important t-shirt because it was from, well, my favorite writer. But the other thing is, I thought about it and I said, okay, there's one other t-shirt, and it's this one right here that I bought, oh, somewhere between 6 and 8 years ago. It's the NSA, the only part of government that actually listens. It was done by an artist who was making a political statement. It also says, peeping while you're sleeping. Because it was during a time of some of the revelations about the spying that the NSA does. But so it was my attempt was to endorse the artist because that was a significant, you know, I thought was bold and inventive the way he did it. So I bought a t-shirt you know, $20 or whatever, and it arrived. A few days later, it arrived again. So there was a mix-up somewhere, and they sent me two. I actually emailed them my recollection. I emailed them and said, "Hey, you sent me two," and never got back to me. So I gave one to my friend Mike Day because he enjoyed the humor of it and actually wore it. I think I've worn it maybe once, maybe twice, but I keep it because it's a souvenir. But anyway, obviously, there's a birthday tomorrow from one of my top four sons, biological sons. Obviously, I have two other sons, which I claim with a similar fervor. And there are numerous things that I want to proclaim to him, and that's for tomorrow. So there's those two things, and I want to also enlighten you a little bit, because again, there have been four people that are coming to mind right now, where I'm having, you know, occasionally in-depth, no, five people where I'm having some in-depth conversations on theology. Some we completely disagree. Some we have a lot of similarities. One actually recently, I think there are issues because he's left the table. But I had a dialogue today because one of the things I wondered about, because I heard a comment made, well, from the World Economic Forum, and because the objective, and it was from the gentleman John Kerry, who I think he has something like, you know, environmental czar or whatever position he has now in the government. You know, and remember, because I've told the story before, was it 2004 or whatever it was when he and Bush ran for president? And John Kerry did win the election and George Bush took office. Which, you know, I've gone over that. But the statement he made, because he was speaking to a bunch of CEOs of large corporations, and you know, it's this, because it's a push towards this environmentalism mindset, things around COP, the, I forget what it stands for, COP 26, climate change song and dance that is happening, because it is a real concern, because they're using this in order to gain control. It moves power into larger institutions, and of course, larger mid-sized institutions when become larger and larger when become even larger. And this is the common thing, and this is what he was proclaiming. And the statement that I noticed when he said was that to these other people, you are the ambassadors to go get others into this, because there is this conscious push on climate change in order to get people to be part of the system. You know, this is like the fallacy of protecting grandmama by wearing the mask, and you know, you got to do your part for climate change. Again, remember, very important, a little bit over 99% of the fluctuation in climate or climate change can be put in one place. It's that round ball that you see in the daytime and not at nighttime, the sun. Because there are known cycles of various things that happen over a period. I think there's like a 30-year cycle for something. There's like a 300-year cycle, whatever, for something else that has been seen over history. So we say, oh yes, these things occur. And so what we need to do is get an act of Congress together to tell the sun not to do this, right? Yeah, you can buy that. Great. But anyway, his comment about he wants you to be the ambassador in order to get others involved. And that piqued my interest, because we are called to be ambassadors, because you'll find that word a couple times in the Bible. So I looked. So allow me, please, a moment to tell you about it. 2 Corinthians 5:20, and this will be in the email, of course. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And obviously, so be reconciled to God, obviously, is if you're not reconciled with God, you're not part of the elect. I mean, you're toast. That's obvious. But be ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. So what does an ambassador do? An ambassador is a representative. You know, an ambassador from a foreign country that's here is representing that foreign country. He acts as the agent of that foreign country here. Or when we send an ambassador somewhere else, they act as the agent for our country over there on the political stage. But this isn't the political stage. So what does the word ambassador mean? It is presbyteros, which is a word based on presbyteros, or elder. So if you look at the definition of an ambassador, is to be older, prior by age or in age. In other words, in a group of people, the older one is loosely the ambassador. Or to be an ambassador or act as an ambassador. And what does an ambassador do? Represents. He is a servant representing a higher authority or an external authority. So you have both those aspects there in the word. The idea of being older and being a representative. So therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. So who do we represent? We represent Christ. You know, it's the idea of mimic me as I mimic Christ. What's the ESV word? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Yeah, but because it is literally mimic. But what we're doing to basically everybody else, you know, to the world, but to everybody else, is we are representing, especially if you are older or acting as the servant of Christ, you are the ambassador of Christ, and God is making his appeal through us. So God isn't, you know, Christ is not walking the earth today, going, you know, knocking on doors, saying, "Hi there, I'm your creator. Allow me to have a relationship with you. Because, by the way, have you noticed I paid the price for your sin?" No, he didn't. He's not doing that. He tells us to do that. But it is his authority. We represent him because we're his servant. The other place, Ephesians 6:20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Well, let's look at this one even more. Let me back up. This is verse 20, so let me back up to the middle of 18. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And is again, interesting dialogue on this today, because there's the appeal by Paul for prayers for him. He is no longer walking the earth and actively doing this. So in a sense, if you pray for Paul, you're praying for the dead. And there's an inappropriateness to that. So what is the context here? Obviously, at the time the letter was written, he was alive, clearly. And so it was extremely applicable at that time. But, you know, Paul is the ambassador. He's a servant of Christ, clearly, because when he's written a whole lot of the New Testament, he didn't do that in his own volition. He was Christ's servant. So, again, he's not around. So, how do we look at this model? He says, again, mimic me as a mimic of Christ. Okay, what is he doing? He's talking about and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Okay, he is opening his mouth boldly, which is parousia, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, which I'm ambassador for, that I may declare it boldly. Again, parousia, when is parousia my, you know, the verb and the noun. He is asking for prayers that he may do this, proclaim it, act as the ambassador, and do so boldly. It says boldly, but again, parousia is the idea of boldly, openly, unambiguously. So that's the model he is setting up and asking for prayers for himself. But when we mimic him, we're not mimicking him in the sense that we're going to write more of the gospel or more of the New Testament. That's not our job. But to the degree that we are to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, that we make to proclaim it boldly and speak, yes, we are to mimic him in that respect. Because why does he do that? Because he's supposed to, we mimic him as he mimicked Christ. What did Christ do? Well, I think he spoke clearly, boldly, unambiguously about himself, and we are to proclaim the same. Anyway, for which I am an ambassador. Paul, at this point, obviously an elder, and acting as the servant of Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, from 2 Corinthians 5. We are to follow that same model. As someone who has a relationship with Christ, and as he matures, this should be a more of a complete, with greater clarity, without any ambiguity, very boldly. And the important thing, because this is one of the big parts of the discussion today, we speak, declare boldly, but not arrogantly. It's not, I got it right, you got it wrong, and you got to be like me. No. We proclaim this is what Christ says. And we're going to point to Christ and his words and so forth. And it is, we're not telling you, this is what it means, and I am the authority. No, this is my understanding of what it means. I will proclaim this as clearly as I can and interact in exchanging of words. What would we call that? Oh, yeah, dialogue. Or reasoning together. Dialogue. So we would do this in such a way to make it clear. I'm going to proclaim as best I understand without packaging it in such a way, but making it clear, but also making sure I note I am not the authority. I am pointing to my Creator, who is the authority. These things, I think, are so vital, and I want to get this. I want to encourage my family to do the same. And because one of the things, as I study the idea, especially because I've discussed parousia many times, because it's used numerous times, parousia, parousiomai, the noun, the verb, and so forth. Which is all speak is the root of that word. It's literally all speak. So, in other words, I'm not going to say, well, I'm only going to tell you this part because I won't tell you that part because that might not mark it well or something of that nature, or I don't want to confuse you. No, I want to give you a complete. I want to speak openly, completely. And again, not arrogantly. That's really is vital. And of course, I'm going to proclaim as best I understand, and in reasoning together. If I proclaim 99% truth, and you can catch me in that 1% that's false, that reasoning together will help find that 1%. If I proclaim 50% truth, even more, I need that interaction. But even if you're only doing 10% truth, you need to do it with interaction. So the 90% you got wrong over time becomes 80, 70, 60, and so forth. If your desire is to say, I want to proclaim in obedience to Christ the truth about Christ, I want to get this across to my family. I want my kids to be able to speak parousia. I want them to be truly ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because it's an act of love. And that's the fundamental call of a follower of Christ, to love in obedience to Christ and to love others, which is something that obviously they don't see. My family, I love you. Jack, I intend to speak parousia to you tomorrow. Whether you'll get it, I don't know, but I'll do it. That's the plan. And then, of course, Walter, the same way with a slightly different subject matter. And, of course, the shirt was nice. That shirt was nicer because it came from one of my favorite girls. But then, of course, there are pictures here of my favorite lady. She's still my favorite lady. And she still has my heart. Dorothy Jane, my lady. I love you.